glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank God for the word. Thank God for redemption in Christ. Thank God for the work of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bible says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to them that believe. I welcome you to a new week on the Everyday with Jesus broadcast. Hallelujah. It's been a while on this broadcast. Been tremendously blessed by the teaching of the Word of God. And I will be studying forgiveness of sins, also known as remission of sins, also known as salvation. Hallelujah. You know, I've said repeatedly on this teaching that salvation is forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness of sins is salvation. And then we've been studying metaphors for salvation. We've seen justification. We've seen reconciliation. We've seen propitiation. There are a couple of, there are a few more of them we are to see in this teaching. But then today I want to start teaching on, I want to reemphasize again and teaching on what salvation is not. Hallelujah. That will be our focus this week. What salvation is not. Time and time again, we must always reemphasize these things. We must revisit these things and then help people make a reappraisal of their faith. What exactly do you believe? Glory to Jesus. Many times you meet believers during evangelism and you ask them what salvation is and they cannot explain it. That's a terrible place to be. Do you know, it's so painful to be in church all your life, die in church and go to hell. Go to hell because you, it's not because you didn't want to believe in the gospel. It's not because you didn't have a soft spot for church activities, religious things and on. Just because you were misled, you were taught the very wrong things. Praise God. And the impact of false teaching is so grave. It doesn't just impact, you know, people's life when they are saved. It doesn't just hinder people from growing. False teaching actually prevents people from being saved. That's the most scary part. That a man can wake up in hell and discover that he never believed in the gospel, though he was always in church. Glory to Jesus. So we must always revisit this and be able to prove from scriptures what salvation is and what salvation is not. And then today I'm going to dwell on this one thing, that salvation is not refraining from sin. Hallelujah. Salvation is not refraining from sin. Salvation is not refraining from sin. Glory to Jesus. It's quite amazing and sad that the devil has been able to deceive a lot of people in the world today, that when they consider the subject of salvation, sometimes you are walking towards somebody, you want to preach the gospel. The moment you open your mouth to say, I want to talk about Jesus, they just start running from you. Why? Because they feel that you're about to place a demand on them. You're about to put a burden upon them that they have tried to bear all their lives. Let me show you something in Acts of Apostles chapter 15. You know, it is not that we are to try to lure people with fanciful things, fanciful tales, things that are appealing, you know, but the salvation message is called glad tidings. So, but then, when people assume that salvation is about making a demand from them, rather than calling them to receive God's offer, they will begin to run from it. Glory to Jesus. They begin to run away from it because they feel that, see, they don't have the capacity to commit to what they are calling them to. Hallelujah. Look at Acts 15. Once people have a works mentality, there's a way they will run from the message. Acts 15. Look at what Peter said at Acts 15 verse 10. He says, now therefore, why do you test God? By putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear. So have you seen that the law is called a yoke on the neck of men? Glory to Jesus. So when I say a sinner, you know, assumes that the gospel is making a demand from him and he begins to run away from him, and then you're like, well, if he's running away, that means his heart is not right. Definitely his heart is not right. Hallelujah. And that's the reason why Jesus came, to change the hearts of men. Now, Jesus didn't come to change the hearts of men by giving them rules and regulations, what they must do, their obligations they must fulfill before they can be saved. Hallelujah. At all. So salvation is not telling sinners to refrain from sin or refrain from sinning. That is not what it is. Hallelujah. As a matter of fact, these sinners have tried a couple of times. They've tried a number of times to be pleasing to God, to do something. You know, some of them have heard a lot of things. They've been bombarded with moral teachings and they've tried to do something. They've tried to change. Glory to God. Paul will narrate his struggle at Romans chapter 7. Look at this carefully. Romans 7. Paul will narrate his struggle as a carnal man, an unspiritual man, under the law. Romans 7. I'll read from verse 13. As then what is good to me become death to me, certainly not, but sin that it might appear sin was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. For I know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Verse 15, for what I am doing I do not understand, for what I will to do that I do not practice, but what I hate that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good, but now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells, for to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. That is, I have the desire, I desire to do good. To will is present. I desire to do something, you know, I desire to do good. I desire to live a life that is pleasing unto God, but the ability to perform is lacking. Hallelujah. So we can't be inviting sinners to refrain from sinning. Glory to Jesus. That's not the gospel. Let's start from John. John chapter 1. Glory to God. The gospel is not a call to sinners to refrain from sinning. It is the offer of life. Hallelujah. John chapter 1. I'll read from verse 11. So salvation is not refraining from sinning. In the Bible, salvation is taught as the offer of life, the gift of God. John 1, 11, he came to his own did not receive him. Verse 12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Verse 13, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Have you seen? These ones are born not of the will of man. It is not by self-effort, determination, making a resolution, promising God and, you know, making a vow. I won't do this again. I won't go back to it. Nobody sent you that. Salvation, being born again, is not by the will of man, the will of the flesh or of blood, but being born of God. So salvation is taught as a new birth. It is not refraining from sinning. It is being born of God. Hallelujah. And these are words apart. It is not refraining from sinning. It's being born of God, and these are words apart. Hallelujah. Look at John chapter 3. Glory to God. John 3 from verse 1, Bible says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. So have you seen, there's no amount of refraining from sinning, trying not to do bad, trying to keep up with all the laws, trying to keep up with all the religious codes and rules and all that, that would get a man saved. Because being saved is referred to as being born again. Jesus called it being born again. He says you must be born again. Hallelujah. So it's not by refraining from sinning, it's by believing in the gospel and becoming born again, born of God. It's a new birth. It's a spiritual birth. And until a man is born of God, he is not saved. Hallelujah. No matter how much he's able to help himself, no matter how much he's able to restrain himself from committing certain sins and crimes works of unrighteousness, works of the flesh, no matter how much he restrains himself from those things, he is still not saved until he believes the gospel and is born of God, born of the Spirit of Christ. Hallelujah. So, in this same chapter 3, Jesus shows us how to be born again. Verse 16, for God so loved the world. In fact, let's start from verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Have you seen? The man that believes has eternal life. It's still the same discussion on being born again. Being born of God, being born of the Spirit of God, being born of water, being born of the Spirit, the same. It is by believing in the gospel And then you receive the gift of eternal life. Hallelujah. You receive the gift of eternal life. Verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So salvation is about believing in Christ, believing the gospel of the Son of God, and then being born of the Spirit of God. Glory be to God. So it is not restraining yourself or refraining from sinning. It is believing in Christ Jesus, his sacrificial work on the cross, his death and resurrection, and then you are saved. Hallelujah. Look at 1 Corinthians 15 from verse 1. The Bible says, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Hallelujah. So imagine that Paul is saying that, see, guys, if what I taught you, if what I preached to you, what I passed on to you, is not what you have believed, then you have believed in vain. Hallelujah. He says, the gospel that I'm preaching is the gospel by which you are saved. If that is what you are holding on to, if that is what you have held on to as the truth. Hallelujah. So it's restating the message, because salvation is definite. It's found in a message. Romans chapter 1 verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. This gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. Verse 17, to them that believe, for therein the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Hallelujah. The just shall live by faith. So salvation is found in a definite message, a definite encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ in his gospel. So it is not refraining from sinning. It is not about trying to not sin. It's about looking at the Savior who died as sacrifice for the sin of the world. Glory to Jesus. It's not about refraining from sin. It's about trusting in the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. It's a different thing entirely. Hallelujah. It is not found in human will. It is not found in human effort. It is not found in works. It is not found in striving. In fact, it's so amazing. Salvation comes by you doing nothing, but trusting in all that was done by Christ Jesus. You are saved by doing nothing other than trusting in all that was done by the Savior. So you did nothing. He did all. You trust in what he has done and you are saved. Glory be to Jesus. Glory be to Jesus. Look at verse 3. For I deliver to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. So Paul is saying, this is the gospel I also received. This is the gospel that saved me also. And I'm delivering the same to you. Hallelujah. That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12, and after that he was seen by over 500 brethren, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some are falling asleep. So salvation is in a message. Hallelujah. A definite message, a definite encounter. So that a man that does not receive the message of Christ, a man that does not believe in the gospel, no matter how much he strives and you know, attempts to not sin and to conduct himself in a good way, in a moral way, he is still not saved. Glory to Jesus. Still not saved. And I always find the story of Cornelius at Acts 10 instructive anytime I'm teaching on this subject. Anytime I'm teaching on this aspect, showing from scriptures how that salvation is not refraining from sinning or trying to, you know, remodify your conduct, I find the story of Cornelius always instructive and timely. Acts of Apostles chapter 10. Glory to Jesus. Like my reverend would say, Reverend Adebayo would say, that if Cornelius were to be in the church today, in some churches today, he would have become a pastor, a deacon, or an elder in the church without being born again. Because of his moral qualification, because of his religious, you know, qualification and profile. Acts of Apostles chapter 10, I'll read from verse 1. Bible says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man, and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people. I mean, look at his CV. Feared God generously. Devout man. Gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. Look at that. Can you beat this? Glory to God. The Bible says in verse 3, about the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? So he said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He's lodging with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. So following this encounter, Cornelius actually sent for Peter. And then Peter came along with four other men to the house of Cornelius. Now mark that the angel said, he will tell you what you must do. Because there's something that every man must do to be saved. There's a necessary thing to be done. Hallelujah. In spite of the fact that he was giving alms, he was generous, he was praying always, he was, you know, all those commendable and enviable attitudes. Commendable and enviable attributes and attitudes and conduct. Yet, the angel says, go and call for Peter, I will tell you what you must do, because there's a particular thing a man must do to be saved. So what exactly did Peter go and tell Cornelius and his household? Acts chapter 10, glory to Jesus. From verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. Verse 42, and he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. Verse 43, to him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. So Peter is preaching faith in Christ for remission of sins. So that means Cornelius was doing every other thing right, apart from this one thing. He had been doing every other thing. He was doing every other thing. He hadn't done the one thing that was needful for salvation, to be saved. The one thing needful to be saved, he had abandoned, he had neglected. Perhaps he had not even heard about it before, until Peter was sent to him. Glory be to God. So Bible says immediately Peter landed on verse 43. Bible says verse 44, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon those who heard the word. So Cornelius became saved when he received the gospel of Christ. Though he had been a good person, though he had been generous, he had been giving alms, he had been praying regularly, he had been a devout man, he had feared God with all his household. Imagine that, fearing God. He feared God. Yet, he was not saved. Hallelujah. He was not saved. Because, like I said, salvation is in a definite encounter with a message. The message that saves is definite and precise. You can't alter. It is not just anything that saves. There's a particular message. That's why Paul says, by which you are saved, if you keep in memory, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Glory to Jesus. So salvation is not refraining from sinning. It is not trying to change your ways. It is believing in the gospel of Christ Jesus, his death and resurrection, and you receive the remission of sins. Glory be to God. Look at Romans chapter 10. Romans 10 from verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. Verse 2. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. What knowledge are they ignorant of? Verse 3. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness have not submitted to the righteousness of God. You see, and that's the failure. The children of Israel were not trying to live in sin. They were actually trying to live in righteousness the wrong way. They were trying to obtain righteousness the wrong way. Such that their problem was that they were seeking salvation in their own will, in their own self-effort. Hallelujah. Bible now says in verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Christ is the end of the law. Christ is the end of striving to obey. Christ is the end of striving to obey so you can be saved. Christ is the end of trying to, by human will, obtain salvation. Christ is the end of trying to be made right with God by what you do. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. Hallelujah. So the gospel announces salvation freely to men who believe. The gospel announces the gift of righteousness to those who believe. It is not by refraining from sin. It is by it's by receiving the offer of righteousness. Hallelujah. In the which God makes you a righteous man, not because of what you have done, but because of your faith in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 19, to wit that God was in Christ Jesus reconciling the world to himself, and has committed, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Verse 20, Bible says, so then we beseech you, as ambassadors of Christ, be reconciled to God. Verse 21, for he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Hallelujah. Have you seen? So in the gospel, we are given righteousness on account of our faith, not because we have refrained from sinning, but because we believe in the gospel. Hallelujah. We believe in what Christ has done. Glory be to God. So in the same Romans chapter 10, look at verse 9 to 10. Bible says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Verse 10, with the heart man believes unto righteousness, one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So you see that we don't behave ourselves to be saved. We believe. Ha, we believe. This sounds too simple. You know, humans love things that are very complex, give us 20 steps to salvation. Hey, now you are talking. But that's not Bible salvation. Bible salvation is about believing in the Son of God, believing in what Jesus has done, believing in Christ and Him crucified, and you are saved. Glory to Jesus. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians in chapter 2. It's by believing. In fact, before we go to 1 Corinthians 2, look at Romans 10 from verse 14. Romans 10, 14. Bible says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. So the gospel is an announcement of glad tidings of good things. And the man that believes this report is the man that is saved. It is not by trying to refrain from sin, it's by believing the report of faith. Hallelujah. Verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The faith that saves comes by hearing the word of God. Salvation comes by hearing the word of faith. The man that believes in what Jesus has done, who has believed the report of God, is the man that is saved. Hallelujah. It is not by trying to refrain from sinning. Nobody has given you that kind of task. It is by believing in what Jesus did to sin. Jesus, by his death and sacrifice, disarmed sin and death. The man that believes in this fact is the man that is saved. Hallelujah. Look at 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Glory to God. From verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Have you seen? The message of God, the message of the cross rather, is the power of God to save. Hallelujah. It is the power of God to save. Verse 19, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world true wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Who are those who are saved? Those who believe. Those who believe the message of the cross. Hallelujah. Now look at verse 22. The Jews request a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ and him crucified. We preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Glory be to God. So you see that it is not about what man can do. It is not about what man is seeking. It is about God's offer to man in Christ Jesus. The Jews are seeking signs. Greeks are seeking wisdom. It's not about what you are seeking. It's about what God is offering you in his Son Jesus. Hallelujah. If up until now you've not believed in the gospel, if up until now you are resting on your work, if up until now the gospel you heard that made you join the church is come to Jesus by turning away from all your sins, come to Jesus by refraining from sinning, come to Jesus by refraining from sin and promising God that you will not sin again, you are not saved. Hallelujah. and you must be born again today. The gospel that saves is trusting in Jesus alone for salvation. Believing in what he has done. Glory be to God. Believing in what he has done. Salvation comes by a definite encounter with a precise message. And this message is about Christ and what he has done. Look at Ephesians 1:13. Let me begin to close now. Bible says, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So what was required? To trust in the gospel. To trust in Christ, in the gospel. In him you also trusted. Hallelujah. You trusted. That is, you relied absolutely on what he has done. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, trusting and believing are the same, one and the same things here. So to trust in Christ is to believe in the gospel. It says, after you trusted in the gospel, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Hallelujah. And if you are yet to be saved, it means the moment you trust in this gospel, you'll be sealed with the Spirit of God, and that's salvation. It is by placing your trust in the Messiah, believing in what he has done, believing that he did what he did, believing that he is who he is, he is the Son of God, is the way, the truth, and the life, and he has done what he claims to have done. Hallelujah. And then you are saved. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So this is salvation. It is not refraining from sin. It is not trying to restrain yourself from sinning. It is about receiving the offer of God in Christ Jesus, believing a report, believing the report concerning Jesus' death and resurrection. Once you believe in this fact, you are saved. Hallelujah. You are saved. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow. Invite your friends, your neighbors, your colleagues, your classmates, and let's come together to have a great time in the Word of God as we continue to explore the truth concerning salvation, what salvation is not according to the New Testament. Hallelujah. And do have a great day of being full of the Word, full of the Spirit, full of prayers, full of spiritual songs, and be a blessing to somebody. Share the gospel with somebody. See you in the next episode.